is where Jesus says to the crowds, listen, this is our ministry to the crowds. We reach the world. The church exists to reach the world, doesn't it? We are here to take as many people to heaven as possible. To take as many people into the kingdom of God as we can while we exist. That is the primary function of the church. Number one priority is to preach the gospel and see salvation to every person. We're called to do many other things. We're called to clothe the naked, heal the sick, care for the poor. We are called to do that. But many other people can do that as well. What others can't do is what we must do, which is bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Without the gospel and without Jesus, those things become very hollow and empty and short term. Yes, we can clothe people, but they're going to hell. We can feed people and keep them alive for a couple of more years. But what we have to give people is eternal. And that is salvation through Jesus. Jesus reached people with the gospel. Is what it says in Mark 4. It says again, verse 1, again Jesus began to teach by the lake. And a huge crowd gathered around him. It was so large that he had to get into the boat and sit in it on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen. Listen. That's what Jesus is saying in the first V. Listen. And it's a powerful Greek word, actually. It's the same word he used when he stilled the storm. It means silence. Stillness. Listen. That's what the gospel does when you preach it. You can have people who are not interested in God, not interested in church. Their life is all over the place. And when they come under the sound of the gospel being preached, something supernatural happens to them. And they're enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to listen. They can hear. It's the first thing Jesus said, often before he taught. Listen! When he finished, he said, those of you who have ears to hear, let him hear. Our message is to help people hear. Our mission is to help people hear the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God. And it's important to bring ones and twos to God, isn't it? It's important to witness to people. You know, I talked to Ian last night in this restaurant, and he was saying, you know, I'd love to hear some more of my family and my best friend from school and all this come to the Lord. And those things are important. The gospel works when you witness to people, doesn't it? It does. But that's not enough for this nation now. It isn't. And it was never enough in the early church either. It's brilliant to be able to witness to people. And does anyone get nervous of that? Anyone get nervous of opening your mouth and telling people Jesus loves them? Yes, so do I. People have often said to me, oh, it must be easy for you, you're an evangelist. I am an evangelist. I'll tell you what's easy for me, preaching the gospel, because I've got a gift to do that. I feel the power of God when I preach the gospel. But witnessing to people one-to-one, I'm as nervous as any of you. Or probably more. Plus, I don't have any Christian friends. I don't have any friends. But I don't have any non-Christian friends. Some people have loads of non-Christian friends. I've been like preaching since I was 19. All my Christian, non-Christian friends either got saved or they hate me now. So it's one of the two, you know, black or white. And same with all my family. I haven't got, honestly, and I haven't got the time to go to the gym and make 20 new more friends. That's unrealistic for me. I'm called to preach the gospel. I need to serve God and serve others with that gift. But it still doesn't let me off the hook for personal witnessing. If I have the opportunity, I need to open my mouth and say, Jesus loves you. And I tell you, I find it a challenge. I was sat in one of the kids' bedrooms studying once. I was going to a Bible college to do 2 weeks teaching at this Bible college on evangelism. I was doing all these talks and getting them all ready. And I was just doing one on the importance of witnessing to people personally and telling them about Jesus. As I was doing it, I just felt totally convicted. Thought, I never do this. I thought, I'm telling people, it's so important to tell people. When was the last time I just went and told someone Jesus loved them? I couldn't remember. It was way away, maybe a year before or something. It's the truth. I'm preaching all the time. but not necessarily witnessing. I felt, oh, you know what, I can't do it. The absolute hypocrisy. So I thought, I'm going to go and witness someone right now. So I grabbed my Y Jesus, and I was scared. Put it in my back pocket. It's always good to keep it in your back pocket so no one can see it. No. And, put it in my back pocket. And I said to our Joe, who was just a young lad then, probably the age of Matthias, probably now. I said to our Joe, come on, Joe. We're going to go for a walk. He said, oh, what are we going for a walk for? I said, we're going to go for a walk and we're going to tell someone about Jesus. And he said, oh, okay then, come on then. And so we went for a walk over the fields and there wasn't anyone there. You know, we walked over the fields of praying. I said, Lord, show us who we should talk to about Jesus. Give us some courage. Give us the ability to do it, you know. And I saw this old man on a bike. He was riding across the fields towards us. I said, this is it, Joe. This is our opportunity. We're going to tell this old guy about Jesus. And he came up to us on his bike and I said, you all right, mate? And it was going well. He like stopped. I said, you all right, son? And he was looking at some feathers on the ground or something. Some pigeon had been killed or something. He was, yeah, there's a pigeon being killed there. It must be so. And I thought, you know, I thought I'd do what I was trying to teach him at the Bible college. Start all relational. Have a nice little conversation about normal life first. So I said, I pretended to be interested in pigeons. Yeah. Oh yeah, mate, proper pigeons, them. It's definitely of the bird variety. And, you know, which wasn't going anywhere. I was just looking at him like, you're weird. And then I thought, he's old. He looks old enough to be in the war. So I thought I'd talk to him about the war. I wasn't doing very well, you know. I said, I bet you must have been in the war, were you? And he's like, looking at me. You're really weird. And I sort of tried to have a little conversation with him, trying to be relational, trying to do what you read in the books, you know. Start relational. And it didn't work. And he sort of pedaled off. And Joe looked at me like, loser, coward, you know. And I felt terrible, you know. I thought, oh, you know, blew it. Absolute coward. I said, yeah, you're right, Joe. I said, I need more boldness. Holy Spirit, give me more boldness just to be straight. Help me, Lord. We walked around the field for another half hour. And time was gone, you know. There's no one there. So we went and got in the car. And we were driving back around to our house. As we're driving down our street, guess who's pedaling down our street? This guy, Pigeon Man. He's pedaling down our street and we just prayed. I said, Lord, if you give us another opportunity with this man, I'll just tell him straight that you love him. And we pulled in our road and there's this guy pedaling down our road. I said, Joe, look. He went, no, no. One of the Star Wars movies had just come out and Joe said, it's like the Force. I said, it is the Force. Pulled in front of this guy. Not quite like that, but quick. And jumped out. I said, mate. And he stopped. He thought, flip the heck. He's Pigeon Man. He's World War II man back. He looked at me and I said, listen. I said, I was chatting to you on the field and I'm sorry. I should have just said what I meant to say. I said, I had an opportunity to talk to you about Jesus and I missed it. I said, but can I just give you this book? It's a Why Jesus. Tells you about Jesus. And what I wanted to say to you was just this. God loves you and Jesus died for you. He could have done anything, couldn't he? You know what he did? He took the book and said, thank you, son. Thank you. No one's ever told me that. He got off his bike. He walked to the car. He said, you all right, son? He said, your dad's one in a million. I thought, he's right. I'm one in a million for me. And because it's one in a million times I do this. But witnessing to people actually works, doesn't it? He said, I'll read this, son. Thanks, mate. He pedaled off on his bike. Joe was in awe. I was in awe of God and the gospel. The gospel's the power of God. But here's an honest question for you. Do you think England's going to be saved? Do you think Europe's going to come into revival by all of us just doing that? No chance. We need mighty meetings with incredible crowds and the powerful gospel preached and the Holy Spirit blowing. That's what we need. When Israel were in the wilderness, they were starving and they cried out to God and God brought all these little birds. There was 2 million Israelites and they all got fed. So I don't know how many birds, but a lot. Millions of birds came on the wind. They came. And do you know what, brothers and sisters? That's how they come. On the wind of the Holy Spirit, the crowds will come. As we pray, as we see revival, as we preach the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, God will bring millions of people into the kingdom of God over the next 10 years, I believe. I do. How do you think that I got fed by going shooting the odd quail? Let's go quail hunting. How do you think that they've done? Not very well. They needed a supernatural act of Almighty God to bring millions and millions of little birds. And we need the power of the gospel preached and the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is the power of God, isn't it? It's the power of God, not our power. We believe in the gospel. We believe in revival. In the 1700s, John Wesley went into Newcastle. First time he'd ever been there. It was still a walled city. Totally godless. Crime, sin, evil. He went in with one buddy and they went to the worst part of Newcastle. And they started by singing a little hymn. They sang a hymn and people started hanging out the windows and coming round them to see who they were. They sang with a strange accent. They were southerners. So they came round them, about 100 people. And he told them, he said, I'm here to tell you about the friend of sinners, Jesus Christ. He loves you and he can change your life. He's the friend of sinners. He said, I'm going to be here at 4 o'clock and I'm going to preach again. At 4 o'clock, there was 20,000 Geordies. 20,000. It's not bad for a first meeting, is it? That's Almighty God. That's how it happens. That's how the church was born. Wasn't it born like that? Prayer, the Holy Spirit, vast numbers. Day one. Day one. God brings the crowds. As we pray, as we commit ourselves to preach the gospel and not shy away from it, God brings people to that activity. The Holy Spirit brings people. It's a fact. We've been seeing people get saved here on a Sunday night, haven't we? We only started in September. We've had almost 100 first-time decisions for Jesus Christ here at the front here. Nearly 100 in 4 months. Is that unusual? That's very unusual. It's very unusual. It's a tiny sign of what is to come. A tiny sign. But it is a sign. You know why it's unusual as well? Most of them are in church that night for the first time. I'll tell you how we used to do it. Let's do an Alpha course. And let's get to know people and bring them to a guest service. And did you enjoy church? Well, it wasn't that bad. It was all right, yeah. Do you think you might come again? Yeah. He's come again. He's come again. It's awesome. He's come again. Would you like to do an Alpha? I'll think about it. He's thinking about doing Alpha. Pray, pray, pray. He's coming. He's coming on the Alpha. Yeah. He's come on the Alpha. He's come on the Alpha. The difference with this is the first time you walk in church, bang! You're saved. You're convicted. You're encountered by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's different. That's revival stuff. Even though it's tiny, it is. It's different for many of us who've preached the gospel for years and years and years. God is at work here. Get in on it. Get in on it, brothers and sisters. Bring people here with faith that they'll be saved. And they will be. They will be. There's hardly any guests here, actually, on a Sunday night. But out of them, they get saved. Sometimes I look, I think there's about 4 guests. I see 4 at the front. What, is it cleverness? Is it the drums and the lights? It's Almighty God backing the power of the gospel. We believe in the preaching. We believe in preaching. Anyone with me? Yeah. Preaching. Predicate. Preaching. A gospel that isn't preached isn't the gospel. You have to bring people under the sound of it. Often we found, Margaret was saying to me the other day, often we found people we witness to and say yes to Jesus, that we still need to bring them under the preaching of the gospel. And something happens to them. The kingdom of God encounters them. They respond to it. And they move on in power. We believe in preaching. Don't we, Stu?
Yes.
don't we, Ian? We believe in preaching the gospel. We're going to be preaching in that car park before we're finished. What, this room? You're joking, aren't you? This is marvellous. And it's nothing. Nothing. We'll be preaching in that car park. We'll be preaching in Albert Park. We'll be setting up sound systems at that Tees Barrage. I know we'll be there. I've seen that. We'll be preaching in Preston Park. We'll be preaching in Clareville Stadium, in football stadiums. Mark my words. Someone write it down. I put a date on it. We will see Europe revived. Revived. Millions. Millions will come to Jesus Christ. What's the vision of this church? That's it. This church exists as a revival boot camp. That's what it's for. If you want a little bit of church, you're probably in the wrong venue. We exist to preach the gospel, to see people saved, and to train people to go into mainland Europe with the gospel. That's what God has promised. There's a wave coming of revival. We believe it. We believe in revival. We believe in the gospel. We believe in preaching. Absolutely central to everything, and salvation first. So is that clear? Jesus said, hear. Hear me. Listen. Then he said, come to me. Come to me. This is a different thing. You can be in the crowd and hear him, but you need to personally come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and broken and distressed, heart shattered, and I will give you rest. Come to me. We don't only exist to preach the gospel, we do, but once it's preached, we exist to heal people. We are here to do the ministry of Jesus, and the ministry of Jesus is to bind up broken hearts and sort people out so that they conform to the image of God, so that they are set free from demonic power, so they do get free from the habits of sin, so their mind is renewed and they're not under life and under the control of depression and themselves and hemmed in. So they're not living in totally shattered relationships all the time. So they do learn how to forgive others from the heart. They do learn how to forgive themselves. Did you hear that testimony of Angela? Pray for me, I'd like to be healed. Pray for me, I'd like to be healed. Pray for me, I'd like to be healed. Have you ever forgiven yourself? Huh? No. But I felt very emotional when I did, and I'm healed. We've heard that testimony 100 times here at least. Forgiveness. That's what we do. We heal people. That's what Route 61's about. That's why the best thing you'll ever do in your life is sign up for Route 61. Before this church began, I had a very clear dream. I dreamt I was in a cave. And from out of this cave, I could see people coming over the green grass in the sunshine. Ones, twos, families, and then more and more and more. A group of people, not vast crowds, but a group of people coming. It's you. These people, and I realized in the dream that it was David's cave. It was the cave of Adullam. And the people who were coming were in debt. They were depressed. They were broken. They were in distress. They were coming to be formed into an army that would take the nation for the kingdom of God. That's what it was. That's what this church exists for. That's a big part of it. See, do you know what? If you sat there this morning and you feel I've got a few issues, you're in the right room. If you're sick of yourself and you think, you know what? I love God. I love Jesus. I've received the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized. I'm walking with the Lord. But you know what? I'm a mess. I've got issues that are reoccurring. I can't control my anger. I can't get on with my wife. I can't get on with my kids. I don't know how to make life work. Listen, come to me, says Jesus. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's massively important you receive healing in your soul. That's what salvation means. That's what the word means. It means, it's sozo, soul healing. Jesus comes to give you salvation from everything. Not just a ticket to heaven. To save his people from their sins. That's what he comes for. This is massively important. Here's what Jesus said. Why do you look, why do you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you have a plank in your own eye? First, take the speck out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to be able to take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. There are many people who minister in the name of the Lord who are a mess. You you want to do the work of the Lord. I get it. You want to preach. You want to share. You want to win the world for the Lord. But there's only one problem. You put everyone off because you have a massive plank in your own eye. Here, let me sort you out. Bonk. Let me help you with that speck. Whack. Let me sort you out. Healed people heal people. And hurt people hurt people. And as the leaders of this church, we totally committed to the inward journey ourselves. We said to each other at the beginning, the best thing we can give to this church is ourselves sorted out. Otherwise, you're a controlling, heavy leader, or you're a weak, fearful leader, or you're up and down and up and down. I'm sorry, we can't have that. We have to have stability. You have to have peace. You have to have consistency. And that only comes from a healed heart and a healed soul. Would anyone like a bit more healing in their heart? Sign up for Route 61. That's the best thing you can do. But God's called me to preach. We're not interested. I'm awesomely anointed. You probably are not interested. There are no loony leaders in this church, apart from me. We're not having any. You go and get sorted out, which is what Jesus did with his 12 before day one of Pentecost. He spent 3 years training them, working with them, but working on them, pouring in his attention, pouring in his love, healing them in their heart. It's massively important. Jesus said, first, take the plank out of your own eye. Everyone say first. First, that's the first thing you do if you want to be part of this church, want to be part of this movement, you want to be part of this mission. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then, everyone say then.
Then.
See, he doesn't say, let's just stop taking things out of each other's eyes. You just look after yourself. Get yourself. I need a bit more counselling. A bit more counselling. I'm not quite sorted yet. I've still got a few issues. Listen, you'll have issues till you walk through heaven's gate. Don't worry about that. You just commit yourself to the journey and you're in. You just start working on your heart and let God work on your heart. And he'll, then you can minister. Yeah, then you can, in reality, help get specks out of other people's eyes, which is wonderful. Have you ever had a speck in your eye? It hurts. It hurts. And so does life. So does life. Many of us are sat in this room right now with specks or planks in our eyes. And we're like that. You all right? I'm fine. How is your Christianity? It's awesome. Can you see God? Partly. That's the truth. Partly. Because hurt makes you shut up. That's what your heart does, do you know? Your heart's more sensitive than your eyes. You get hurt, it just shuts. You have to have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You have to have, if you want to be conformed to the image of God, if you want to be used by God in this revival and not just blown away, listen to me. You have to have the Holy Spirit heal your heart. You have to have him bind up your wounds and face your issues. Sort you out mentally, emotionally. Spiritually, it's important. Let him heal you so that you can open up the eye of your heart and let him take out that hurt. The Holy Spirit's gentle. He can do it. He can do it. You must let him do it. It's very, very, very important. Then Jesus said, follow me. We're here to train people, not just to heal people and reach people. We are here to train people because that's what Jesus did. He said, hear me. He said, come to me. Then he said something more challenging. He said, follow me. Does anyone think follow me might be a bit more challenging than just come to me? Yeah, it is, because now you're on the ministering side. Now you're on the serving side. You're on the work side. We went to a restaurant last night. It's Margaret's birthday on Monday. Yeah, what did she do? She was just born. What? Yeah. Yeah, and it's my birthday at some point. 5th of March. 5th of the 3rd. Anyway. And we were at Fellini's restaurant last night. And it's nice in a restaurant, isn't it? You go in, you start, it would be even nicer if you were starving. You go in, you get looked after, you get fed, it's wonderful. You could think, I love it in here, the atmosphere is great. It's got a real buzz and a real nice staff. And I could say to the staff, it's great here. Can you teach me a few recipes? Yeah, come on, or whatever, however they talk. Come on, we'll show you some recipes, man. And starts saying, I said, oh yeah, that's absolutely awesome. Can I work here? Yeah, you want to work here? Yeah, you want to be part of the staff here in Fellini's? They don't sound like that, but anyway. And you say, yeah, this is awesome. I want to be part of it. I don't just want to sit and eat. I want to be part of the staff as well. And they say, that's awesome, man. Absolutely awesome. You can be part of the staff. You're welcome. So what do I have to do? I'll pick you up tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, okay? Huh? Yeah, 5 o'clock. We go to the market. We get the best fruit, the best veggies. We start early. Is that okay with you? Oh, 5 o'clock. Do I really want to work here? I've got some stuff I need to do. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, you either want to follow Jesus and pay a price. There's a cost, or you can keep just receiving. I'll keep coming to the restaurant. Hey, do you know what? You're welcome. You might be so battered and hurt through life. You might need to stay in this restaurant mode for a couple of years. That's okay. Do Route 61. Do it again. Do it again. Get healed. Receive. Come on the Sundays. Wonderful. But if you want to work in the restaurant, awesome. You are welcome. We'll meet you at 5 o'clock. Because running the restaurant is different from eating there. But you know what? Do you think there was a challenge for the disciples when Jesus said, follow me? Follow me. Yet leave your fishing nets, your boat. Now you don't need the fishing nets. Leave them, leave the boats. Follow me. You're going to be catching men. Come on, I'll show you how to do it. I think that's a bit of a challenge for them. Do you think Peter had a few conversations with his family? He had a wife to talk to. He had a father-in-law. Peter, you're never looking after the boats anymore. I'm learning to fish for men. I'm doing something else now. You're ignoring your business, your responsibilities. There's a cost to following Jesus, you know. A cost. Matthew, yeah, leave the tax desk. Leave your job in the tax office. Leave that. You're going to preach, Matthew, with me. You follow me. If you want to follow Jesus, you're welcome. There is a cost to following Jesus. You want to do A61 and be trained? You can. There's a cost. You got to learn. You got to be willing to learn. And you got to be willing to be trained. And that's a challenge. You got to learn to do lots of things. You got to learn to pray. You got to learn to pray. Every revival in the history of the church has begun through prayer. And being sustained through prayer. So brothers and sisters, we have to learn to pray. And that's one thing you actually won't learn on A61. A61's phenomenal book, isn't it? Book onto it again if you want to do it again for different modules. But one thing you won't learn there is how to pray. You learn to pray in the prayer meetings. We've got a prayer vigil tonight, 10 till midnight. Come and be part of it. Well, it's a bit late. Well, what do you want? Listen. If we want revival, we need to pray. Every revival begins with prayer. Even Pentecost. 10 days of prayer. Brothers and sisters, you have to learn to pray. You have to learn to have this life of God that no one sees. Jesus said a real disciple has 3 things that are totally secret, no one sees. What, instead of a life of secret sin, brothers and sisters, good on the internet, secret sin. We need to learn How to develop, to have a secret life with God. Secret. No one knows about it. It's hidden. Secret prayer, he said. Secret giving, he said. Secret fasting, he said. No one knows about it. But they're the roots, brothers and sisters. They're the stuff you don't see. Do you know what holds trees up in strong winds? The roots. You have to learn to have... If you want to follow him, you have to learn to pray. Yet we have to learn to fast. You have to learn to do it. Of course it's not natural. It's supernatural. You have to learn to do it. If you want to know the Holy Spirit, you want to walk with God, you've got to learn. You've got to learn to give. Giving is not something that comes natural. Giving your money away is not natural. It's a supernatural thing, and it's something you learn. There's nothing to do with any percentages. It's way beyond that. It's hearing and obeying God and living by faith. And you learn that. And much of it is unseen. Unseen. But it gives you strong roots. Gives you a root system. So, anyone want to follow Jesus? We have to learn to pray. So, you know, someone has to pray. Someone has to stand in the presence of God and hear him. Someone has to learn together as a group to pray. And just because revival's promised doesn't mean it'll happen without prayer. You know that? There's a strange mystery about prayer. I was reading about Daniel the other day. He is Daniel. He's reading his Bible. That's nice, isn't it? He's reading the book of Jeremiah. Daniel read his Bible and prayed 3 times a day. He's a prayerful man. And as he read his Bible and read Jeremiah, he realized this prophecy is about now. This is about this time we're in. Someone needs to pray. I need to pray. I'm going to pray. He starts to pray and fast and says, God, it says in the word that you're going to move in power and get us back to Jerusalem. Get us out of Babylon. Lord, do it. Lord, forgive our sins. Lord, we're miles away from you. Lord, we could pray like that for Europe, couldn't we?
Yeah.
We could. We should. We must pray. God, we're miles away from you. God, the church is a mess. God, Europe is in hell. God, please forgive us. Have mercy. Come back. Come back. Revive us like you did in the Welsh revival. Revive us like you did in the days of Wesley. Revive us. You can't do that without prayer. Daniel starts to pray. Pray and fast. He prays and fasts for 3 weeks. 21 days later, Gabriel appears. You know Gabriel? Mary, Gabriel, him, same one. Just earlier, still looking young. He appears to Daniel and says, Daniel, just let you know, the first day you started praying, God answered you and sent me. But I met a demon on the way. The prince of Persia resisted me, and I've been in conflict with him for 3 weeks. Is that interesting? Is that interesting? Listen, brothers and sisters, we need to learn to pray. And we need to learn to pray through and keep praying till the answer lands on earth. God hears us. God answers us. God says yes. But we're surrounded with a spiritual warfare. There's a warfare going on. It's all right. She doesn't need to be saved. She's going to work. She works in Pizza Hut. But are you listening? There's a spiritual war going on. So it's not just a little thing you do. How many do we have at the prayer meeting? The prayer meetings are awesome and important. We have two here. One on a Tuesday afternoon. One on a Thursday afternoon. And I'm inspired to start another one right now as I preach. Am I? Okay. We need to be praying. We need to be praying all the time. Praying through, praying through, praying through. Is that work? It is work, actually. Anyone who understands a bit about prayer, it's wonderful, it's a privilege, it's invigorating, sometimes it's exhausting, but it is work. Jesus prayed all the time. The apostles prayed all the time. We're built on that foundation. We are going to be a church that prays if we're going to see revival. Who's going to learn to do it? You are if you want. You have to learn and find out what gifts God's got you, and through A61, M61 crossover, that's where we'll be doing that. You have to learn to become awesome at what you're called to do. God's give you spiritual gifts, you know, which Ian and the team will teach you about. And you've got to find them, home them in, and become awesome at them. Willing to do anything, but awesome at what you're gifted to do and called to do. Someone has to train you to be a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, an evangelist, an apostle. You're sat in this room right now, and maybe many other things as well. But God is calling you So what are you going to do? You're going to give yourself to training to become awesome? Or are you just going to drift for another 3 years? Don't. I want to encourage you to buy in to this vision with your heart and soul. Because it's only biblical. It's only what Jesus did. He trained people and specifically, personally trained them in individual gifts. He did. And, you know, it's important. I love that story of the animal school. All the schools went to school. All the animals went to school one day. There was a bird and a fish and a squirrel and a rabbit. And they had all different lessons. First lesson was running. The rabbit was in his element. Absolutely loved it. Squirrel was all right as well. The bird really struggled. And the fish was just depressed. That was running class. After lunch, they had climbing class. The squirrel just excelled. The rabbit did a bit. The bird wasn't too bad, but again, the fish was depressed. Then they had flying class. Flying class. By this time, the fish was just so depressed, he wanted to give up on life. They got up and they all tried to fly. The bird was in his element. The squirrel sort of did well. The rabbit was a total failure, and the fish again was flat as a pancake. But last lesson was swimming lesson. A little fishy found his place, and he took off absolutely flying. The rabbit was struggling, the bird was disastrous, and the squirrel was struggling as well, swimming. At the end of the day, the headmaster called him in, and he called in the little fish. And he said, "Mr. Fish, you're awesome at swimming. You don't need any more lessons at that. So tomorrow we're going to home in on what you're really struggling with. Flying, climbing, and running. See you tomorrow, little fish." The little fish flipped home, absolutely depressed. And he said to himself, "When I grow up, I'm going to open another school where fish swim. And birds fly, and rabbits run, and squirrels climb. That school is called the Church of Jesus Christ. God has uniquely shaped you." Shaped you. S-H-A-P-E. You have unique spiritual gifts, unique heart, unique abilities, unique personality, a unique experience. All of that has shaped you to make you you. God wants to use you. He wants to free you to be you. And the only way to find that, discover it spiritually, and to be released into it, is to be trained, is to not be proud, but to humble yourself and learn. Learn. If you can't learn, you can't grow. Massively important part of who we are. And lastly, go. Jesus said, "Hear me, come to me, follow me, go with me." With me, mind. With me. He doesn't just send you. He packs his bag as well. "Where are you going, Jesus?" "I'm coming as well. Don't think I'd miss out on the action, do you?" Jesus said, "Go, preach the gospel to all creation, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. Go, make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you. I will be with you." Some of us know what it is to go and have Jesus with us. We're called to go as a church. You know that. We're not called to stay. We're called to go, be trained, be changed, and go. We won't be staying in this room or in any room. We'll be outgrowing every room and moving all over Europe and then all over the face of the earth. It's massively important that you get to the point where, you know, you realize that God wants to send you and you're willing to go. "Who will go?" God says in front of Isaiah. I read that this week as well. Isaiah has an encounter with God, sees God, and then he's devastated. He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips." He's seen something that needs to be told. He's seen the glory of Jesus. He saw the glory of Jesus. And it actually was Jesus. It says in the New Testament. It says in the New Testament, Isaiah saw Jesus' glory and spoke of it. He saw the glory of the Father, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, and he was devastated because he knew the world needed to know, but he wasn't equipped or able to do it until the angel flew to him with a burning coal taken with tongs from the altar and touches his lips and says, "Now you've been cleansed, your sin has been taken away." And then he says, and then he hears the Holy Trinity saying, "Who will go for us? And who shall we send?" And Isaiah is able to say, as each of us needs to be able to say, "Here I am, send me. I've been cleansed, I've been trained, I've been healed, I'm far from perfect, but I'm willing, I'm ready, I've counted the cost. Here I am, send me, use me." Do you know God wants to use you in massive and awesome ways if you give yourself to the process of true discipleship, which is there. Massively, massively important. God's called us to go to Europe, and significantly, and I'll finish with this, you know, and primarily, first, Estonia, hasn't he? I mean, you might have noticed lots of Estonians in this church. It was nearly 10 years ago when me and Stuart took our first trip to Estonia, invited there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me in Chris's kitchen and said to me, as his mum was speaking to me, "I want you to invest in this family." That took us through the next 8 years or whatever, with about 20 trips to Estonia, with those guys coming here to live here, with us training Chris, with us training Carl, with us doing lots of weekends in Estonia, meeting lots of people, accumulating really, you know, speaking at the biggest gathering of Christians they have in Estonia, Bible Days. Ian was with me, 1,000 people there, and not only 1,000 people there, 1,000 people responded to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be saved, to be healed, and to know the Father's love. It's absolutely significant moment. And to be honest, after that, I thought, I think that's it. I think my bit in Estonia is basically done. These guys can come here, we've got a base here in the UK, and we can train them up here and send them back, and that's it. Until last summer, where some of you know this story. Me and Margaret were there for a holiday, and we met, you know, Lowry's mum and dad, and they were walking around telling with us, talking to us about revival in the Ola Vista church. And I'd heard it many times. There was a revival in the 70s in the Ola Vista church. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It just didn't do anything for me. There's a revival. But then this guy, who was absolutely, you know, into it all, Lowry's dad, says to me, "There's a book being written." Here it is. "There's a book being written called The Great Soviet Awakening. The story the West was never told." It's only been written this year. He said, "Yeah," and he gave me a copy. He said, "You must have my copy." And I opened it. It was signed by the guy, not the guy who wrote the book, but the guy who the book's about. And I said, "Oh, I can't take this, Scott." And he said, "No, you must take it. You must take it." And I still didn't click it was God. And I said, "Oh, I'll take it." I thought, you know, I threw it on top of my bag, you know. We were staying at their house a couple of days. "Oh, I'll read it sometime, you know. Soviets, don't like that word." Anyway, it didn't appeal, honestly, it didn't. We're walking around telling the next day, and then he starts talking to me more and more about this revival. And at one point, he gets hold of my arm, and I sort of woke up. I was like in holiday mode, you know. "Where do you get the best ice creams around here?" And he got hold of my arm and said, "This revival, thousands of blind people were healed. There's a revival with hundreds of thousands of salvations. It's the biggest revival in it's the last great revival in Europe. It's only in the 70s. We didn't even know about it because it was behind the Iron Curtain just. The last great revival in Europe." And he grabbed my arm and said, "Not hundreds of blind people, Martin. Thousands of blind people's eyes were opened." And as he said it, my eyes opened. And I thought, oh, this is a God moment. God's speaking to me. And we went to that church. We had a couple of services on. And we went up the tower. We came back back down. I was sat on the street in the sunshine outside. Margaret was talking to his wife and something. And then they're all waving me down this back alley. Come here, come here, come here. And Preet and his wife were all excited. And they said, he's here. This is that man. And down the alley was these two smartly dressed men with briefcases. And I said, oh, is that the man who wrote the book? No, it's the man the book's about. The man God used in the revival reign. He's here. And they were like shocked. They went over. He went over, started talking to him. And he said, Martin, come, come. And Pritt's wife pushed Margaret. Margaret, you go. And we went over and shook hands with this man. He's about 80 year old, but looks about 60. He's beautiful, blue eyes. And I said, thinking he couldn't speak English, will you ask him, could he pray for us? For revival in England, a revival in Europe. And he spoke in perfect English and said, yes, I'll be glad to pray for you. He said, I was just thinking about revival this morning. What a sovereign move of God it is. How you can't begin it or end it. Or start it again once it's ended. I tried many ways to get revival back here and I couldn't do it. And the Holy Spirit said to me just this morning, revival comes in different ways. Said, I'd love to pray for you. He said a few other things to me, Margaret. Then he prayed for us. Holy Spirit came on us. Absolutely blasted. I was crying, staggering over the cobbles. And it was just like a God encounter. At that moment, I honestly believed we received permission for the next leg of Estonia. I felt I had permission. I felt I connected to something with the last revivalist in Estonia. To little us. I mean, it's astounding. And then we get faith to do the Estonia camp. Who's going on the Estonia camp? There's over 100 of us already booked in to go to Estonia to do a revival camp this year. Route 61 all day. Gospel, salvation, signs and wonders every night. It's going to be awesome. And a tiny bit of holiday every afternoon. And, you know, if you remember the church, you're welcome to sign up for that. And then, you know, towards that camp, we've got these 2 weekends booked in Estonia to build up towards the camp, to go around, do some preaching and stuff. Chris is on his laptop the other day. And hang on a minute. We're booking in meetings in Panu, in one city. And he says, you're scheduled to speak in Tallinn. So what do you mean? No one's asked us. He said, yeah, you're speaking at this church, this Ola Vista church. In fact, they're already advertising it. I'm not even asked. No one even communicated about it. So I said, let's find out more. We'll find out more. Trying to find out exactly who. Chris is saying, I don't know these guys. I couldn't make this happen. I don't know what's going on. And we're both getting nervous. And it's like, you know, we've been watching Band of Brothers lately. It's like, hook up! Get ready! It's like another jump into you. That's what it feels like. Will you pray for us? It's in a couple of weekends. And then he goes on and finds out more details. This guy, Rain, is leading the meeting. I'm preaching. We said, am I just talking about the camp for 5 minutes? No, you're doing the preach. You know, this is absolute, I don't know what it is. I'm just telling you so you can pray for us and showing you that God is with us supernaturally connecting into Europe. They've got the choir singing in this meeting. There was the choir used in the revival called the Ephrathah choir. You know, when Jesus said to the deaf girl, Ephrathah, be opened, open your ears. And it was called the Ephrathah of the Ephrathah. Whatever. The Ephrathah Revival, that's what it was called. So we're going there in a couple of weeks' time. Would you pray for us? It's a significant meeting. I don't know what it is, but we've got a meeting there at this church. Might be another sort of baton connecting time. I don't know what, but I tell you what, it's the most significant church in Estonia, most influential church in the capital. It's, you know, and it's absolutely supernatural. God's called us to go to Europe, hasn't he? We're going to Bulgaria. They want us to go to Sweden. It's just the beginning. Let's have red hot passports for Jesus, shall we? Thank God for EasyJet. Thank God for Ryanair. That have made it possible, actually, for us to hop, skip and jump without killing ourselves financially. It's like what the Pax Romana was to the Apostle Paul, which meant you could travel easy. This is for us. It's an opportunity. We need to use it. And you know that God spoke to us about many other nations. Let's stand. No, I'll tell you what. Why don't you sit? Sit for a moment. I'd like you to respond It's very important you respond personally to the word of God. And you can respond by standing. And what I'd like you to do is this. Listen to the Holy Spirit now and let him speak to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've been speaking to hearts and individuals in this room about many things in the last few moments. About prayer, about the gospel, about training, about heart healing, about going. What is it the Holy Spirit wants you to do now? What's the next step for you? If you're saying yes to him in that step, then there's a sign that you're saying yes to him for that step. Stand where you are and we'll pray. Lord, you see every heart and every life that is offered to you now. We want you, Jesus. We want you, Holy Spirit. We want you, Father God. We want to do your will. We want to know you intimately. We want to learn to pray. We want to press in to know the Holy Spirit as a person. To know the gentle, tender Holy Spirit. And we want to be surrendered to do your will so you can just take us to any place in this nation and any nation you want and do with us whatever you want to do. Lord, here I am. Train me. Here I am. Heal me. Here I am. Save me. Here I am. Send me. Thank you, Lord. Amen.